First things first, rest in peace, sucker fear. For real, you the only father that I ever knew. I get my pregnant, I'ma be a better you. Prophecies that I made way back in the veil. For fear, listen, even back when we was broke, my team ill. Martin Luther King would have been on Dreamville.
We should be very proud of each and every one of them on how they have sacrificed, worked extremely hard throughout the year, back in June, and making all this work. There are a lot of folks that deserve a lot of credit that is outside of this team that really bred a lot of life into the group. But at the end of the day, we learn from this, we will grow from it, and definitely we all will get better, starting with me first.
Some comments from the coach, Juwan Howard, after last night's disappointing loss to UCLA. The Michigan Wolverines fall in the Elite Eight 51-49. Welcome back here. Hour number three of X's and Bros on this Wednesday morning. It is the 31st and final day of March here in this calendar year, so that's exciting. If you are if you're ready for the first of the month, text the keyword sports radio to 21000, sports radio to 21000. Our Meyer Supercenter guest line, 313-396-5527, 313-396-5527. We're on Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook X's and Bros, and of course good morning to our television audience as well on Comcast channel 900, and of course on BCSN now as well. So this is week number two on BCSN. Find our podcast, listen back to anything you may have missed on demand by visiting SoundCloud, Google, Apple, Spotify, or the iHeartRadio app. Plus, you can listen live online all the time at MichiganSportsNetwork.com. Danny Cahalan is at Dan in the studio. Ryan Elke is at RyanL_Key. I'm Anthony Bellino at AAC Bellino. And as we continue to move forward, today, by the way, is the launch of Bally Sports Detroit. So Fox Sports Detroit is no more. It's now Bally Sports Detroit. So Dan is Dan's ready for. He just told us that he's got every day next week on BSN.
I'm working starting tomorrow. I don't work Friday because the Tigers don't play. You know, they have that buffer day in case the actual opening day gets rained out. But yeah, I'm working Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday.
Wow.
So yeah, because we're just normally it's like 2 or 3 weeks with all three sports. Now it's 2 full months nearly with all three sports going. So it's going to be fun, and it's going to be lots of poor to mediocre sports being played in Detroit.
Oh, man. Red Wings, Pistons, or Tigers? Which one are you most excited about here? I know that, you know, the Pistons and the Red Wings are already midway through their seasons. And so maybe that's a little lopsided here of a question, but which one are you looking forward to most? Is it the Red Wings closing out? Is it the Pistons, closing out their season, or is it the start of Tigers baseball?
I'm kind of
interested. Which one's the most fun to work? That's a great question too. What do you enjoy the most?
Gosh, honestly, I love all of them because everybody's great, and it gets fun working with all the analysts and it's the best crew I've ever worked with. They're awesome.
You get to hang out with
basketball,
like
basketball,
and
yeah,
Murphy,
yeah, and Grant and Mickey Chris York Osgood. And Keating and yeah,
smooth Johnny Kane.
The best is probably Pistons because the games are the quickest and they're
amen.
Basketball games that just 2 hours and 10 minutes. That's it. Not sitting around waiting for rain delays or for the ice to get resurfaced.
It is like the stoppages. Like baseball takes forever. It does. It takes forever for a limited amount of action. I know that people say, well, you know, the actual live action in a football game is only minutes more than the live action of a baseball game. And it's like, yeah, but the live action in a football game includes somebody getting hit or scoring a touchdown
or a clock winding down.
Yeah. I mean, you only get like 8 to 10 possessions in an NFL game anyways. You know, in a baseball game, you could foul off 20 straight pitches. Nothing happens. But it will be opening day. Have you guys heard of anybody doing anything for opening day coming up tomorrow?
You're not allowed. Like, legit, the city of Detroit has said, if you do not have a ticket to the game, do not get anywhere near Comerica Park.
Wow. Well, so much for that. Maybe next year. Maybe next
maybe
year.
Summer. Maybe midsummer. There will be tailgating be like, and stuff.
If I were the Tigers, the first day possible, that's how I'd market it.
That or the first home game after the All-Star break, opening day 2.0.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would do. And I would just try to throw a fan fest down. They come on down. We got stickers and party favors and all kinds of stuff. Here, I have some napkins. Well, just spend a little money on it, but you know, get people, you know, excited and for and keep pushing the future out there that hey, we're gonna be good one day. Just keep pushing that out there and give away some free stuff, you'll be all fine. All right, you start throwing some t-shirts on Woodward, you'll be good. All right, what else is going on in the sports world? We'll try to get you all caught up with all the happenings. We'll do so right now in the headlines.
Big news.
I have a little news flash.
Let's check the headlines.
No, it's real news for once.
The biggest stories of the local, regional, and national news.
This is huge news.
Three games yesterday for our regional teams. We'll start in the Elite Eight, where Michigan fell to the UCLA Bruins 51-49 in the Elite Eight. The 11-seed Bruins will now march on to see another number one seed in Gonzaga. How about the second straight tournament? I read this on the screen, so if you're watching on Comcast or on BCSN, this is the second straight tournament in which one team has eliminated both Michigan teams. How about that? Pretty crazy. The Detroit Red Wings fell yesterday to the Florida Panthers 4-1. They'll pick things back up tomorrow night on the road against the Panthers at 7 o'clock for that puck drop. The Detroit Tigers closed down spring training with a 5-0 loss to the Tampa Bay Rays. Casey Mize went 4 2/3, gave up 5 hits, 2 earned runs, walked 1, struck out 6, and his spring training ERA is at 7.23. So we get ready for opening day tomorrow. The Buffalo Sabres winless streak hit 18, by the way, after the collapse in the third period against the Philadelphia Flyers. And now we've seen two pretty historical losing streaks between the Buffalo Sabres losing 18 straight and the Houston Rockets losing 20 straight earlier in the year. We've seen the teams lose this year. NFL expecting full stadiums for the 2021 season, according to Roger Goodell. I'm expecting Christmas as well. So, I mean, hey, We'll wait and see what happens. I think it's a little early. Maybe we should be bullish. Maybe we just say the NFL is expecting 25 or 50% capacity because we're all still playing by different rules. Remember, if you play for the Dallas Cowboys, the Houston Texans, they might have different rules. The Jags, the Dolphins, and the Buccaneers might have different rules than, let's say, what we have here in Michigan with the Lions. The NFL owners approved a 17-game regular season beginning this year as well. So the player salaries will actually not increase. They'll just get their game checks spread out over the 17 weeks. That, to me, huge head scratcher. And only one bye week as well. That seemed a little out of place. Really thought they could have done a better job of trying to break the season into thirds for every team. Maybe a bye week in week 5 or 6 and then another one in week 11 and 12 and try to at least make it seem like they're trying to help the players. Like, just make it seem that way. That's just me, though. Houston Texans general manager said that the lawsuits filed against Deshaun Watson are certainly troubling and makes him more difficult to trade even if they were interested. You think? Still not a whole lot of media coverage. We have pro days going on, though. Pro day's happening right now. Justin Fields has his pro day. Justin Fields is better than Trey Lance. Justin Fields is better than Zach Wilson. How do I know that? Because he's shown that he's better than both of those quarterbacks playing big-time football, big-time games.
Okay, but are you saying that they are better now, or it's a potential thing, I feel like? Has Justin Fields reached his peak? And the other guys haven't?
I think that Justin Fields can get better, which is scary. I also think that, you know, when you watch the pro days, I know that they're just hanging out throwing in shorts, but what's pretty incredible is how athletic you have to be to even get to that level, much less be drafted. Like, to get to the point where you're going to a pro day to work out for professional scouts, do you think Urban Meyer with Jacksonville at number one, do they pass on Trevor Lawrence and take Justin Fields? How come we don't hear anything about Justin Fields? The guy was
because
a damn good quarterback at Ohio State.
People think that Zach Wilson's going to be the second quarterback taken.
But why? What did Zach Wilson do at BYU that was like better than Justin Fields? I didn't see BYU making a college football playoff. Maybe I missed that.
I mean, we've said it multiple times on this show. People are scared of Ohio State quarterbacks now.
That they are. Utah Jazz charter flight was forced to make an emergency landing after they struck a flock of birds. I'm questioning if they hit a pterodactyl. And Andre Drummond is going to start at center for the LA Lakers tonight, make his debut against the Milwaukee Bucks. Those are your headlines. We'll step aside back with more X's and Bros after this here on the Michigan Sports Network.
It's time to play ball with BetMGM. Get $1 in free bets for every home run hit on opening day when you wager $25 on any Major League Baseball game on opening day. Hey, this is Matt Shepard. Don't miss your chance to rack up free bets with every single homer on April 1st. Download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com for the most exciting action of the new Major League Baseball season. You'll also get instant access to the most innovative parlay selection features. And baseball's got a ton, you know that. Live betting options, tons of player props, and daily boosted odds specials. Feel the thrills of opening day by scoring $1 in free bets for every homer when you wager $25 on any MLB game on April 1st. Even if your baseball wager strikes out, you'll still win every time someone knocks it out of the park on opening day, thanks to BetMGM. Swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older to wager. Michigan only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons.
Bill Simonson here for my good friend John Cornack. Now, he heads up the Eisenhower Center, America's leader when it comes to traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Now, they've partnered with Selfridge Air Force Base on the east side of the state in Harrison Township, just north of the Detroit metro area. And they do have a Veterans Rehabilitation Center at Selfridge Air Force Base, and they're looking to expand it. So they're going to need philanthropists listening right now across the state who can step up and help our veterans get back to living the lives they deserve to lead. So what you can do, if you have the means to step up and help the Veterans Rehabilitation Center at Selfridge Air Force Base, which is part of the Eisenhower Center program, just go to EisenhowerCenter.com. And then you'll find a way to get a message to John Cornack, who heads up the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor.
Kane is in the building there.
After a tough game like this, one of your seniors or one of your captains will step up and say something that really touches you or touches the team. But could you share anything like that maybe one of your guys shared with the team?
Well, to be honest with you, our locker room is what is said is basically stays in the locker room. And, you know, it's just a very disappointing game. And the emotions right now is not where, you know, like the other locker room at an all-time high. But just want to say this, that, you know, I'm so proud of our group and how they fought so hard, not only in this ball game, but all season long.
You can hear it. You can see it in his face, the disappointment there from head coach Juwan Howard after the Elite Eight loss. Last night,
Did it feel like destiny? It kind of did.
It did. Just get it all out now. I felt like this team was destined to win it all, especially after, you know, what they went through in the season with the shutdown, coming back the way that they did, the fact that they were, you know, picked preseason to finish like fifth in the Big Ten, and Juwan in his second year winning the Big Ten championship, and it was like everything, like the stars are aligning. We get Gonzaga. We just beat them last year in Atlantis. Like, and maybe they can muster up some of that magic again and get to a national championship game. Like, you know, making a Final Four is hard. That's why you hang a banner for it. You know, that's why Michigan State has, what, 10 banners hanging for their Final Fours? Like, it's a very difficult task. Very difficult. It's not easy. And, you know, 40 minutes can decide it all. John Wagner was on with us yesterday talking about how he doesn't like the NCAA tournament because he only wants to see the best teams with a chance to win. I want, if you win your conference, I want you to have a shot. And we saw it with Oral Roberts. We saw the upsets. It's been a wild tournament thus far. We're getting down to the conclusion of it with Gonzaga against USC on one side of the bracket. Painful. Just painful. It's, or I, USC, UCLA, pardon me. I'm sorry about that. It's difficult because I really did think that this was a team of destiny. If there ever was such a thing, I thought this was it.
Like, even after, I thought it was done after Livers went down, and then they seemingly were playing better without him for a few games, and it was like, is this for real?
Do you want to know what I did to rationalize last night in my head during the game? I said, okay, well, the first game was a blowout, and the second game was a tight one against LSU. And then the third game was a blowout, and so this game is the fourth game, so this one's going to be a tight one. Like, this is supposed... Like, that's what I was telling myself last night. Like, this is supposed to happen. UCLA's played their best basketball this season. They earned a trip. They get to hang a banner for, you know, from first four to final four. Graham Couch wrote that story about Michigan State and then said on Twitter, like, maybe I wrote it about the wrong team. Like, the chances of Michigan State being able to make the final four, and you look at UCLA's path, and Ryan said this multiple times, like, don't do this to yourself, Spartan fans. But when I look at Michigan and what we thought that they were going to be in the beginning of the season, I didn't expect them to win the Big Ten. They did. And Juwan Howard did that in his second season. And I think that that's very important for a fan base that has been looking for anything to live up to expectation or surpass an expectation, even if the bar is set somewhat unrealistically high. And that is in regards to, you know, now all of a sudden we get to go into, you know, off-season recruiting news and Heisman hopeful rankings and just loathing around about what coach said, what about what player, you know, Giles Jackson transferred. Why is that? You know, we can get into all of that, but I just want to watch the games, man. I want to watch the games. I don't really, unfortunately, part of the job, part of the business is to pay attention to all that noise, but I can't stand it. And I know that writers got to have something to write about. You know, talking heads like us, we have to have something to talk about. You know, that's part of sports fans have to have something to look forward to, something to cheer for, something to root for. Michigan basketball was that for the Michigan sports fan. That's not a Spartan, right? And maybe there were some Spartans that were like, hey, you know, I'm kind of happy for him. Maybe that's true, too. I doubt it, but maybe it is. Ryan, real quick, just wants to nullify that statement. Let's void that immediately. But that's what we had. That's all that I've had. And, you know, I enjoy my 13-win professional basketball team. My hockey team isn't any good. My football team hasn't been good in my entire life. And, baseball's been baseball. It's a long season. People are looking forward to a team that might win 50 games. Like, good luck with your 33% winning percentage. Long season ahead of us. And this was it. This was like, hey, if they can do this, like, bring a championship here, first one since 1989, Final Four berth. They get a little bit of sweet revenge from 2013 and then from 2018. You know, maybe it'll smooth things over. They were playing well, everything was clicking at the right time, and it just wasn't meant to be. On the other side, that game between Gonzaga and USC, that wasn't anything to write home about. Goodness gracious. I saw one tweet said USC looks like the Bolivian soccer team when the Czechs don't show up. I mean, they just got ran off the court. Gonzaga rolling. They enter the Final Four unbeaten. They're 30-0 this year. They're the 14th team to reach the Final Four unbeaten. The first time that's happened since 2015 Kentucky. And the last unbeaten team to win a natty was Indiana way back in 1975-76.
Gonzaga is also the first Division I program to ever have five straight 30-win seasons.
Damn. Mark Few. Why would you – somebody asked me this last night. Like,
so if Juwan Howard, Mark Few, walk into your living room.
Juwan. Stop it right now. Yeah, why you gotta be like that, huh? What's the matter with you? Mark Few, though, never leaves Gonzaga, stays there forever. No real reason, right? I mean, why would you ever leave after building or continuing the powerhouse that is Gonzaga? What else is there to do? Like, let's say, for instance, Texas, because, you know, Shaka Smart goes to Marquette. Indiana hires Mike Woodson. Maybe Texas would be like, hey, let's see what we'll check about. Like, if you're Mark Few, would you leave Gonzaga for Texas?
No.
Hell no. No way. But could you recreate what you built in Gonzaga Could you recreate that at a power school like Texas with all that money, that financial backing, the facilities, and everything else?
You know what you still have to deal with, though, at Texas? They're obnoxious donors.
Ah, yeah.
You know you don't have to deal with that, Gonzaga?
Well, we don't know. I mean, what's Gonzaga Twitter even like? Are there like 6 or 7 people out there that are excited? Like,
it's just Adam Morrison tweeting from his own bunker, an actual bunker that he has.
Still rocking the stash. It's incredible. If you can build one of those, you know, Porter Moser at Loyola Chicago. Can he? I don't know. That's an incredible stat you just threw out there. The first program to 5 straight 30-win seasons. That is wild. And they just rolled USC. USC looked like a mid-major.
And this is the weird thing about college basketball. No championships for Gonzaga. 1 Final Four. Or 2 Final Fours in that span of 5 years.
This will be...
So this is what we talk about when Final Fours are hard.
They are
championships
hard. Yeah.
That's why they are. It's just, especially nowadays, where I think there's just more talent everywhere.
I would agree with that. I think talent discrepancies were probably a lot greater years ago, but now with the way that kids train at an early age and everybody has this pipe dream of going pro.
But you get a kid like Max Abrams from Oral Roberts. This dude's just averaging 35 a night. Like, you're running into these guys now in the tournament. Giddy Potts from Middle Tennessee State. I'll throw that one out there before you do.
I'm not bringing up Middle Tennessee State. I'm not upset with Michigan State fan. I you know, it's outside of, you know, people just yelling at each other on the internet. I'm not too bent out of shape. And then, you know, they lost to UCLA. Michigan lost to UCLA. Like,
them and Texas Tech just own the state of Michigan right now.
And crazy to me how Michigan State got. It felt like they, and this was a product of Michigan not hitting shots. When you hit shots, everything's better. Everything's better. More on this when we return. The Elite Eight finale for the University of Michigan here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Hey, it's Anthony Bellino from X's and Bros, and now I know that your bracket is busted, and I know that Dan and I are number 1 and number 2 in our bracket challenge, but that's okay. Throw your bracket out the window. TwinSpires Sportsbook has an offer just for you. Now with TwinSpires Primetime Play of the Week, you can double your money if any team hits a 3-pointer this weekend. Sign up now with TwinSpires Sportsbook with the promo code PRIMETIME and get exclusive plus 100 odds on any team to make a 3-pointer this Saturday in the men's semifinals. With only 4 teams left dancing, now is the time to get in on the action. Any team makes a shot from downtown and you'll go home a winner. Then you can ride that momentum into Monday's championship game or into Augusta next week for golf's greatest event. TwinSpires Sportsbook. Download the app today. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit twinspires.com. Offer valid for new players only up to a maximum bet of $25. Must be 21 years of age and present in Michigan to bet. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117.
COVID-19 vaccinations are available now at Meijer for those that are eligible. Text COVID to 75049 to register for your free vaccinations at Meijer and get updates to your phone. Please complete only one registration at one location. Additional entries will replace your previous registration and may increase your wait time. You can also talk to your Meijer pharmacist or visit clinic.meijer.com for more information. Remember, just text COVID to 75049 to get started.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddy's Foundation at #PopTheTap at FreddyThePizzaMan.com. That's FREDI, ThePizzaMan.com. Or email FreddyThePizzaMan at gmail.com.
you could just walk through those last two timeouts, the plays that you drew up, and then what you ended up seeing kind of play out.
Yes. You know, we got the look, got the shot that we wanted. Unfortunately, you know, there's not much you can do with 0.5, but that shot, it was a nice little heave. Unfortunately, it just didn't go in. The play before that, we got an open look. It just fell short. But overall, I love the fact how our guys executed down the stretch. Yeah, you know, both teams missed some shots that we normally make. If you look at the shooting percentage, you know, there was truly a Big Ten style of play with 51 and 49. And with UCLA shooting 38.9, which is 39%, and Michigan shooting 39% from the field. They shot 23% from three. We shot 27%. Fortunately enough for them, they were 6 for 7 from the free throw line. We were 6 for 11. So we missed 5 free throws. They got 7 offensive rebounds. We got 11. They got 8 turnovers. Unfortunately for us, we had 14. You know, reading that out to you guys, that was, you know, the difference of the ball game. But it was a hard-fought game on both sides.
Want a sports network?
Just difficult. Difficult. You hear Juwan Howard's comments, and it's a that's it. It's over. It's done. It's a special season. Truly was. COVID shortened. Didn't even know if we'd get sports this year. But the pros, they taught us how to bubble. So we bubbled. And took it to college football that had Michigan with a first game opening winner against Minnesota and get our expectations all high just to flame out. And then basketball came around, year two of Juwan Howard. What would we expect? What would this team do? How would they be? You know, glimpses of greatness last year. Who knows about this year? Despite what last night's game might have said to you, a Big Ten title and Elite Eight is a hell of a season. It's difficult. It's a tough pill to swallow as a fan. You know, the incredible hot takes that we've seen. I don't think this team choked. I don't think they were outcoached. They got the shots they wanted. They just didn't go in. Did they turn the ball over?
Well, you could say that choking.
That the ball didn't? I mean,
not making the open shots when you have them.
One could say that. I could see somebody saying that from a distance that's probably never shot a basketball in their life. I could see that, sure. Some days it falls. Some days it doesn't.
Is that the only comparison that we get to do? Is that if you say, well, you didn't play professional sport?
No. I just think that I think that there's a certain level of understanding that you got to have going into this. You know? And it's not just about missing the last shot of the game. It's about missing
the final 8 shots of the game.
Jeez, the final 10. It's about going scoreless the last 5.5 minutes. You know, Sean D hit a huge three. Huge three. You know, you're down 2. Do you need to shoot the three? I mean, there's the question. I have no problem with Hunter Dickinson inbounding the ball just purely based on the fact he's a very good passer and he's 7'1", and he's going to have an easier time than, let's say, for instance, Mike Smith, you know, or somebody undersized trying to inbound that ball. Thought Jermaine brought up a good point. I would like to have seen Eli get a shot there or just push it into overtime. Hell, we were staying up all night anyways. What's the difference? Rip. Did you guys make it all the way to the final horn?
Oh, yeah.
I was in and out, and then I woke up with like a minute left, and then I was
perfect.
Good. Yeah, it was perfect. It really was.
Perfect timing. You wake up, one eye open. That's what's going on. Okay, let's go.
I looked at my phone. It said 12:01. I was like, okay, this is live. This is not. It's not 3 in the morning. It's not a replay.
No, it was live. It was real. Franz, just brutal. And he'll live with that forever.
Especially if that was his last game.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point you bring up there.
Because we don't know, you know, things would point the way that he would declare for the draft, the way he's been ranked as a prospect. But he'll only be remembered for this if he doesn't have another game at Michigan. Because he can always correct it if he comes back.
I don't know. You know, I just don't know if Franz Wagner. There were games where he was spectacular and scored 13 points. Flat out, like, that was it. Like, you know, there weren't. Johnny Juzang last night scored 28. Like, you score 20-plus in a college game, like, that's a lot. That is a lot of points. Franz did it a couple of times.
Especially when your team scores 51 and you score 28.
Unreal. No one. I mean, boy, did he hit some good shots, too. God, the one coming back off the ankle injury is the one that sticks with me. That's the one I just keep replaying over and over and over in my mind. He injures his right ankle. He comes back. He runs off a stagger screen on the baseline. Yeah, catch and shoot like Rip Hamilton. That thing was so beautiful. Like, the minute it was released, it's like, oh, that's good. And it dropped, and you're like, you're like, he's, you got the hot hand. You got to feed him. And Franz has gone for 20 points 4 times this season. And in those games, looked really great. And then in other games, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know what the best way to really say it is. Sometimes the lights were the biggest. He didn't perform. You can go back to the Big Ten tournament and that loss against Ohio State. He went 2 of 10 from the floor. They lost that game. Like, Franz needed to be good. I'm not, you know, Isaiah Livers not being there definitely hurts without question, but it's not the reason they lost. You know, they didn't take care of the basketball. 14 turnovers, very uncharacteristic. Of this team and how they had been playing all season.
I don't think it's just Franz that needed to play good. It was Franz, Mike Smith, or Eli. Just one of the three needed to play good.
Eli was all right.
Was all right, but was he good?
He was all right. He was okay.
Right. Like, the only one, like,
Franz were not good.
Like, I'd say two players played good for Michigan yesterday, and it was Brandon Johns and Shaundi Brown.
Hey, what about Austin Davis? Big country.
Okay, and Austin. But, again.
Well, Brandon Johns?
I said Brandon Johns. He's the first person I said.
And Noah Hunter Dickinson?
He's all right.
Oh, he's all right. Okay.
Again, all right, it's not getting you the Final Four.
Nope. Got to be special.
Like, when Juzang was out or wasn't his turn, Tiger Campbell was there playing good.
Tiger Campbell. That reverse right-hand layup he put in against Franz. And that's the other thing. Like, you know, Franz has had games where he scored limited points, 10 to 13 points in a game, but has been so strong on the defensive side of the basketball that it's like he didn't need to score because he's doing everything right. He wasn't great on defense last night.
He was all right on defense, awful on offense.
That's a bad time to have your worst game ever.
And there was a point, too, where I thought the tide was turning for Michigan, where I think they hit, like, back-to-back threes or back-to-back baskets, and all of a sudden UCLA just started taking early threes. They had, like, 3 possessions where they were jacking up threes, and that's not them. They're not like every other college basketball team where if they have an inch, they're going to take a shot from the three-point line. They move the ball around. They work inside. They're fine with mid-range jumpers. So when UCLA started doing that, I was like, okay, here's the turn of events, but just Michigan couldn't get over the hump of extending a one-point lead, anything really more than that.
How about the back-to-back buckets Hunter Dickinson had right before the first media timeout there, the second half, where he banked one in off the window? And then they just kept going to him, possession after possession, and it looked like he was forcing it a little bit. He looked a little uncomfortable, and you know that's a little inexperience right there. But, you know, eventually Michigan would get some stops and they tightened things up. And it was 34-31. It was 34-33. Eli Brooks with back-to-back buckets. And Cody Riley responded right away from UCLA. Shaundi Brown came in, gave him some goodness. Austin Davis with a big dunk. And it was right there at the end. It was right there at the end. When you really think about, you know, outside of the made free throws by Franz with 44 seconds left, you got to go a long way back, 5:23, to where Michigan made a shot from the floor. 5:23. It was a three-pointer from Shaundi Brown. Crazy. Hunter Dickinson missed a free throw. Hunter Dickinson made a free throw. Brandon Johns missed a jumper. Franz missed a layup. Hunter Dickinson missed a layup. Mike Smith missed a layup. Like, there it is. And that was all in, with under 2 minutes to play. I mean, it qualifies as a layup, you know, but I think there were 10 of 19 at the rim. And that's just usually, but hey, you got to remember, like, UCLA's got some decent size, and they're not just going to allow you just, hey, oh, it's a layup. Like, they're not going to allow you to just get that basket. They're going to pressure you. They're going to defend you, and the ball didn't bounce in.
Right, and you're talking last segment how you felt Michigan was the team of destiny, or they're destined to win a championship.
God, feels like UCLA right now, doesn't it?
Right. What about UCLA? They lose their top two scorers midseason. One leaves the program, one gets hurt, is out for the year. They lose their last four games going into the tournament.
Just backed into that thing.
They're the last team in, selected, into crazy. The first four. Then they become the second first four team to go to the Final Four.
VCU was the previous.
With Shaka Smart.
Uh-huh.
And now they get to take on the undefeated Gonzaga Bulldogs.
It's a story. That's an incredible story. The fact that you had a guy leave the season or leave the team midseason is pretty interesting. We saw a couple. Remember David DeJulius from Michigan? He transferred down to Cincinnati. He left Cincinnati.
Well, now there's some allegations against Cincinnati's coach for mistreatment of players. So I wonder if that went on with him and his decision to kind of step away from everything.
And how happy do you have to be for Mick Cronin here?
I love Mick Cronin.
Yeah, he's pretty fiery, man. He gets up and down that sideline pretty well. But, you know, a guy that got dragged at Cincinnati because, you know, he couldn't, you know, didn't have success in the tournament. And here he is a couple years later at UCLA doing a hell of a job.
Right, and even when he was hired at UCLA, it's like, why are you going out west? Like, you're a Midwest guy. What are you going to do at UCLA? Like, your style doesn't translate there. And He's only 2 years in. So, Mick Cronin and Juwan Howard walk into your living room.
I don't appreciate that comment. I want you to know I don't appreciate that. And I'm Juwan Howard, where I'm going.
Someone has a Final Four under the belt.
Yeah, well, someone's in their second season.
Mick Cronin.
In 20 years in the league, so how about that? That's where I want to go. I thought it was great to see, once again, C-Webb tweeting about it. They're getting close. They're getting close to mending that fence. Where's Weber jersey? Jalen Rose being at the game. I love it, man. I do. I love it. I love the support that the men's program shows the women's program and vice versa. You know, it's something. It is something that there is a, I think they have something special going. And to win the Big Ten and to make it to the Elite Eight is a special season, despite how things ended up. I said that last night, and somebody was like, you know, going crazy, like, you choke artist. Do you think this is special? You think that was a fabulous season? Like, I don't know where you guys have been at, but have you watched football at all? Because I think a Big Ten championship and then making it to the tournament for football would be pretty exciting. I think that'd be a good season. I think winning 10 games, 11 games, maybe beating Ohio State, I think that'd be a good season.
Do you feel like, though, this season is, for basketball, feels a little incomplete because there wasn't a Final Four?
Yeah, it was. So when Livers went down, we had that discussion about what was a legitimate expectation.
Right. I felt like Elite 8 is where it was settled on.
Yeah, we were in Sweet 16 Elite 8 territory, and I think rightfully so.
But with taking the Livers injury in consideration, doesn't it feel even more incomplete because he wasn't playing?
Yeah,
like,
and
you
I feel
like
that.
There's a pit in your stomach, like
what, like, could have been.
Right.
Because you can't ever go back. You can always go, well, shoulda, coulda, woulda, but you didn't, right? And it's very, very, very difficult to kind of digest from a fan's perspective. Does it feel empty yet? It does. I wouldn't say it's a disappointing season, but it does kind of feel like unfinished business. For somebody like Franz, you know, I don't know. Did he look like an NBA player to you? There's some things that he does well, but I don't know, man. And Isaiah Livers, I don't know. I don't honestly know. I don't know if Isaiah Livers can come back and risk another injury, or if you just try to make a roster and go from there. I would assume that's probably the best bet for him. But if you're Franz, if you're Sean D, if you're Mike Smith, the recruiting class coming in, there's going to be some attrition there. You know, people are going to have to go. And if you want to come back, that's fine. You can. You have a free year of eligibility. And it doesn't affect, I think, I believe the way this is, the way it's worded is, if you go back to the school to use your free year of eligibility from COVID, then it doesn't count against the scholarship number for that school. But if you were to transfer, then it would count against the scholarship of the team that you are transferring to. So, for instance, if Mike Smith was going to leave Michigan and use his free year of eligibility at Michigan State, that would cost Michigan State a scholarship spot on their roster. So there's and what guys will come back? You know, that's got to be it for Big Country. Does Austin Davis, what a career? If you're Hunter Dickinson, do you try to spend one more entire season getting bigger? You know, trying to add a little bit more weight, try to get a little bit more muscular, work on your game at the collegiate level and then go pro? Or is it because you're an older freshman, you just feel like, hey, the time is now, let me get into the NBA workout program? I mean, look at what's happened to Giannis over time. The guy's huge now. He came into the league looking like Gumby. You know, so it's there are a lot of questions, and it's going to be a long, you know, Eli Brooks was asked after the game. He said he wasn't going to comment on anybody else. We'll talk about our exit interviews. That's gonna be, you know, that's gonna be an emotional time, a tough time, and that's college sports, man. When it's over, it's over. You know, when the final horn sounds, if that was Franz's last game, like, you know, what could have been will always be in the back of our minds, and it's unfortunate, but that's sports. And I think just to be involved at that level, just to be playing in a game that mattered, that meant something, I think is special, and I think it's a lot of fun, whether you win or lose. At least you were there, and at least you got to play, got to feel, got to enjoy, right? And it's nice to be able to feel positive about something. And I think the trajectory of this program, especially with the incoming class, trajectory is looking good. And I think we're going to see a lot of very, very good basketball here in the state of Michigan for years to come. For Dan and Ryan, I'm Anthony saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow morning, same time, same place, right here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.